Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and appreciate all of you joining us for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our information as we go on through the show, accessible on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by via the phone, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. First caller up today, Ashley, listening in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Hank, I was wondering if you believe that the Illuminati makes politicians and celebrities use satanic symbols in their campaigns and movies and videos to corrupt the youth mind so that they can create the New World Order?
No, I don't believe that. I think this is a conspiracy theory about a carefully crafted cartel encompassing policemen and politicians and pastors who are all secretly engaged in subterfuge to advance their satanic agenda, an agenda that the conspiracy says has moved Satanism into the very halls of power as well as sanctuaries of religion. I think this is fighting a phantom enemy as opposed to fighting the real enemy. I think what we really need to do instead of getting caught up in conspiracy theories is to make sure that we understand the principles of spiritual warfare there outlined by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 under the heading The Covering, God's plan to protect you from evil. At least that's how I take the language of the full armor of God. I call it the covering. It's God's plan to protect you from evil. If you put on the covering, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So I talk about the Illuminati in the covering, God's plan to protect you from evil, but in the process, I teach you how to become invincible in spiritual warfare. That book, available on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Shannon. She's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. And I want to say thank you for your ministry. It's such a light to me and such a blessing. And I really, really appreciate it.
Well, bless you. Thank you.
My question involves, my mom. My mom is a big supporter of Sun Life Broadcasting and Jimmy Swaggart. She's gone through phases where first it was Andrew Womack, and then I've finally gotten her to the point where she's reading your materials, which I think my mom would rather have an emotional appeal, and that's not something that your resources do. I mean, that's what appeals to me is the way you present things. But now my mom is pushing Jimmy Swaggart, pushing Sun Life Broadcasting. And how do I rebuff that without discouraging her from reading your stuff?
Well, remember, she's your mom, and you've already made some wonderful inroads, it sounds like, with your mom. But don't push it too hard, because sometimes the hardest person to reach or to influence are people within your own family. God will bring other circumstances and people into her life as well. And so be gentle and respectful. She is your mom. And sounds like you've been doing all that because she's already making somewhat of a transition. But go gently with it, because your respect for your mom is paramount in this circumstance. Prayer for your mom is also paramount.
How do I get rid of that feeling of just, I guess it's on the other side of where, you know, the same reason, well, what you just said, when it's a family member, but how do I keep from getting my dander up when she's pushing somebody that I don't want to hear about.
Well, see, that's the problem again. And why is your dander up? It's because you're your mom and you care so deeply. And that's why it's so hard to reach people within our own family circles, because our emotions get in the way to an extent that makes us sometimes unreasonable in the conversation. But it's difficult because you love truth, you care about your mom, and that's just what makes it so difficult. And that's why sometimes you have to just stifle and get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to bring circumstances and people into her life so that she will see the truth. Because, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, and you've already sensed this through your discernment, he's taught all kinds of false doctrines. He taught that within the Godhead there are three separate and distinct persons, each having his own personal spirit body, personal soul, personal spirit. And that's a significant doctrinal error called tritheism, the belief in three separate gods. He's also asserted that God's body is in one place at one time. And that view is more similar to Mormonism than Christianity. So he does stray into doctrinal errors. He tends to be very dogmatic. And I think that he's a guy that you have to be wary of. But thank God that your mom is so interested in spiritual things, and keep trying to open the door and feeding her good information. Because, you know, once you have a solid mooring and you start to understand discernment principles, then you're able to discern truth from error and wheat from chaff. And hopefully your mom will get to that point through a lot of prayer and through God bringing other people into her life. We'll go next to Nathan. He's listening in New Mexico. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to thank you for your ministry. You know, I think this has really helped me as a young man, you know, getting out of college, you know, just interested in apologetics and defending the faith, you know, because there's a lot of things, especially in universities, you know, that they're trying to really turn people away from the historic Christian faith. So thank you for your ministry.
Oh, thank you so much for the encouragement.
My question is, I recently have just had several discussions with an atheist in my neighborhood, and he's apparently written a couple of books as far as his own research to disprove the existence of Christ, to disprove the validity of Christianity and so forth. And one of the arguments he makes is that the 23rd Psalm is apparently a word-by-word copy of some passage out of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. I've never heard that argument before, and I wanted to know your take on that.
Well, it's not true. And I think this is a multifaceted kind of an issue. First of all, you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And therefore, you need to be able to show that Psalm 23, like the rest of the Old Testament, has never been in dispute. It was ratified by Jesus Christ. It was ratified and closed as the canon in the New Testament already. So it was beyond dispute at that particular time. So this is not part of any funerary document, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. There is ample warrant for saying that Joseph Smith borrowed from the Egyptian Book of the Dead as the founder of Mormonism, but certainly not for Psalm 23. So I would say the way I would approach this is, again, with gentleness, say, please show me the evidence. This is very interesting, but I'd like to see the facts, because I don't see any substantiation for that kind of assertion. So please show me the evidence.
Okay. Appreciate it, Hank. Thanks so much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you. And remember, I've mentioned this a couple of times on this broadcast. I make a distinction between essential Christian doctrine and secondary issues. Essential Christian doctrine is the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. In other words, the essentials are deal breakers. If someone says, in answer to the question that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" you are an avatar or a messenger, or you were even just a good teacher, or you are the spirit brother of Lucifer, as the Mormons say, or you are just the Archangel Michael, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, that's a deal breaker. But when we get to issues regarding eschatology that have to do with timing, these are secondary issues that We can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over. Now, there are essentials with respect to eschatology or the study of end times. The essential of essentials in this case is the fact that Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. So we are awaiting the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at that time, he will put all things to right. We will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The problem of Satan and sin will forever be resolved. And a new order of things will be ushered in. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So again, important to know where the dividing line is. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jay in Kansas. Hi, Jay.
Hi. I have a question for you, and I guess it's a little involved, and I'll just start it off with a little pretext. I've been in the Book of Revelation for a few years, but the last 5 months or so, I saw something that I've kind of vigorously been trying to disprove, and I can't. And not only have I not been able to disprove, it's sort of led to some victory over some personal issues with sin and some strengthening spiritually that I really haven't experienced before. It relates to the 12th chapter of Revelation, where the woman appears as the wondrous sign with the dragon and the child.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we would agree, you know, that's essentially hereditary Israel giving birth to the life of Jesus, and then essentially sort of predicts the coming destruction of Jerusalem in the first century?
Well, I would say it's true Israel. That's the only qualification I would make. True Israel in the sense of the 144,000 or the great multitude, which is the same entity seen from two different vantage points. But true Israel made up of people from every tongue and tribe and nation.
Sure. I guess that hasn't been how I've been interpreting it. Because afterwards, you know, she's chased by the dragon, and essentially there's the time that she spends in the wilderness and stuff like that. How would that relate to, say, true Israel?
Well, remember, there's a distinction here between Israel as depicted in Revelation chapter 12 and Israel as depicted in Revelation chapter 17.
Right.
In chapter 17, you have apostate Israel. In Revelation 12, you have a picture of true Israel. And again, true Israel is given in symbolic language. I mean, the language here is rich in its symbolism, just as the 144,000 is. I mean, it's 12 times 12 times 1,000, but it's not language that simply comes from an interpretation that is a fantastical interpretation, but it's a rooted interpretation, because Revelation is never a mere book of riddles originating from a shallow post-Christian mind. It's a book of symbols that are deeply rooted in Old Testament history. And the only reason we end up mistaking the meanings is we fail to hear the background music of the Old Testament. So the symbols, again, the dragon, the red dragon, the symbols, even in the inversion of the symbols, is very significant. The red dragon is described much like the beast in Revelation chapter 13, except he has seven crowns, not 10. And that is because the dragon is but a parody of the lamb. So you have to pay attention to the symbols, but also always have to have the interpretation as rooted and grounded in the Old Testament text.
I believe that. I guess I do disagree, and I do so very cautiously, and I will once again, you know, go back and study more, but I guess I see the woman, you know, as representing the crown achievement of hereditary Israel as essentially giving birth to hereditary Christ, if that's the correct way to say it. And that, you know, we know that after the exile, that this new covenant was going to be formed, and that essentially Israel's position coming up to the birth of Christ was that he still had to be born through the bloodline of hereditary Israel. I understand the underlying of faith, and that, you know, there was also a hereditary faith line that was flowing through the hereditary bloodline of Israel. But I guess I see it as the crowning achievement of physical Israel and giving birth to our actual physical king. And then
what does physical Israel mean, though, is the question. I mean, there are those who say they are Israel, but they are, in fact, not true Israel. Revelation tells us that very thing. They're the seed of Satan. They're not true Israel. So the point here, you have to be very careful when you talk about genealogy and hereditary lines and so forth, in that Christ's genealogy includes Gentiles. So it's appropriate to say that the woman in Revelation 12 is true Israel who brings forth Messiah. Who is in the bloodline of Jesus? Well, Ruth, she's a Moabite. You have many other examples of people who come into true Israel who are not, in fact, in any genealogical relationship to true Israel. For example, in Esther, you see the nations looking on as Esther is sovereignly raised up to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And on that day, the text tells us, many people from many nations became Jews. They did that not because their birth mother was a Jew. They came that because they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and as a result of that, they were brought into all the types and shadows looking forward to Jesus who would come. So again, it's not hereditary descent that's the issue here. It's true Israel, and true Israel is never a function of your heredity. It is a function of your spirituality. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And remember, according to Paul, there is only one seed of Abraham, that's Jesus Christ, the double entendre being, if you're in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham.
I agree with all of that. I think I'm probably saying this somehow wrong in the sense that Christ had to be born in a physical body. And
yes,
that who God chose for Christ to be born in a physical body was Mary,
yes,
who was hereditary Israel. I mean, correct? I mean, in the sense that she was, maybe not by blood, but, you know, by faith even, associated with the covenants and the promises of the Old Testament.
Yeah, and again, my point is simply to say, if you look through the genealogies, you'll look in the genealogies and you'll see people from every tongue and tribe and nation. And as a result of that, you have the coming of Jesus Christ. So my only point is not that there's not a genealogical line. Certainly there is a genealogical line. That's given to you in Matthew. It's also given to you in Luke. So there's no question about the genealogical relationship of Jesus Christ to Abraham, Jesus Christ to David, Jesus Christ to Adam. That is clearly communicated. My point is, however, that true Israel is always a matter of spirituality, and therefore, there's only one covenant community in the Old Testament. There's only one chosen people in the Old Testament. Ruth and Rahab are part of that one chosen people, just as Abraham was, who was not Jewish, just as Jacob was, who was the first true Israel. In fact, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel.
Right. I agree with all that. My point is that I see this line, which is that you follow the woman and then she, you know, the dragon turns his attention from her. And then we see this reappearance of the woman in chapter 17. And I believe that, you know, chapter 12, that we're dealing with Israel. And I believe that in chapter 17, we're dealing with Israel. But I definitely, I think that through the context, you know, what I keep getting out of it is that I'm seriously drawn to the idea that chapter 7, and I'm no date setter, so please understand this, Hank, but, you know, in kind of accordance with Luke chapter 21, 20 through 29, and just sort of the idea that Christians will see that the end is coming, and the idea that 17 is the reappearance of Israel, apostate Israel this time.
Well, I do think it is apostate Israel in 17. I think you're right, but I don't think that has anything to do with our epoch of time. It has everything to do with what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem. Remember, these are seven letters to the seven churches in the province of Asia, and that ultimately Revelation is not written to us. It is written for us. It's written to people in a particular epoch of time with respect to what they're going to go through. Now, it always includes the eternal perspective, and that's why you can go to Revelation chapter 21 and see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband. You can see in the end of the book of Revelation a clear picture of paradise restored, the river of the water of life, the tree of life. And so you have the eternal perspective in mind as well. But the point here is this is written to people in a particular epoch of time. It's written not to us, but it is written for us. And that's, I think, where a lot of people do make mistakes. If you look at Revelation chapter 3, and I mentioned this earlier, You have a letter to the church at Philadelphia where Jesus is saying, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole earth. The you that he's talking about is the church in Philadelphia. And if we take that you and add 2,000 years and make it about us, then we've missed the meaning. The meaning is to the church at Philadelphia, but has application to us today. But I really appreciate you searching the scripture, and these are the kinds of things that we can debate vigorously, and iron sharpens iron. So thank you very much for your call. I've written about all of this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. We are out of time for this Bible Instrument broadcast. As always, we do appreciate very much your calls and try to take as many as we can. And our contact number is once again bequip.org on the web, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 CRI. Thanks for your support, for your prayers. Let's continue making a difference while there's yet time. God bless you all, and look forward to seeing you in the next edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.